agus fáilte go dtíon clár cum an lúclás cíl na seachtain na seol na mí Tom Comac, which was usual until 9 o'clock. And, well, coming up on tonight's programme, former Donegal player, of course, St. Junan's veteran John Harn will reflect on Donegal's opening round Alliance League victory over Derry last Saturday night in Sean McCool Park, while Kieran Woods of Gaelic Life will tell us how Tyrone's 6-point first round defeat by Mullaghan in Healy Park is going down in the O'Neill County. And also we have Conor Donnell, the Donegal culture and Efriga culture agus na Gaeilge, on to look ahead to the Donegal senior score finals, which is on in Remelton on Friday night. And well, first of all, before all of that, just to bring you the latest from today's Sigerson Cup, and the quarter-finals of that pairings have been finally finalised. And well, the last two places were decided this afternoon. St Mary's of Belfast recorded an impressive 3-point victory and somewhat surprise victory over NUI of Galway this evening in their first round tie. And earlier today, DCU from Dublin had a 3-10 to 10-point victory over a star-studded UUJ side in Belfast this afternoon. Richard Donnelly, Patrick McBearty and Killian O'Connor all getting among the scores for the Belfast College, but Donny Smith replied with goals for Roscommon and his brother, or for DCU and his brother Enda also hit a goal. So 3-10 to 1-7, that's how it's ended, and that completes the lineup now for the quarterfinals of the Sigerson Cup. Those quarterfinals are on next weekend. UCC have been drawn against IT Sligo, and of course well, they're embroiled in a controversy and an objection and a counter-objection with Queen's University. Queen's University claiming that St. Michael Stephen Doak, who is president of the Students' Union in Sligo and on a sabbatical from his course, is ineligible to play. And, well, Sligo have objected, claiming that Queen's played a number of players who were registered at Stramillis College. So I think that hearing may be on tonight. It's St. Mary's versus DCU and the other one. And the University of Limerick, they qualified for their quarter final against IT Carlow yesterday. Daniel McLaughlin, St. Michael's, their saviour, and the toast of the University of Limerick last night, because he scored the winner in the dying minutes of that game. UL coming through against Maynooth, 6 points to 5 in a low-scoring game. Anthony McFadden of St. Michael's also on that University of Limerick side. So they will meet IT Carlow, and it's UCD versus GMIT in the other semi-final. Well, back to tonight's programme. But before we go back to tonight's programme, just to remind you once again, of course, we'd love to hear from you. And the text number is 086-77-00-555. If you have any issues you want us to discuss, or make any comments about the weekend's action, about Donegal and Tyrone and Derry indeed, and their performances over the weekend. As I said, coming up, we'll be hearing from John Harn. He will reflect on Donegal's opening round victory over Derry in the Alliance League, while Kieran Woods of Gaelic Life will tell us how Tyrone's 6-point defeat to Monaghan in Healy Park last Saturday night is going down in the O'Neill County. But first of all, earlier this evening I spoke to the Donegal figure culture agus Gaeilge, Conor Donnell, of course, who is at a forum tonight in an officers forum tonight in Ballybuffet. But we were talking about, of course, the Donegal senior score final, which is on this Friday night. Well, Con, delighted you could join us tonight. We're having our, as I suppose, our annual conversation. I'm not sure whether that's a reflection on me or you, but anyway, it's a score centre time, and you're looking forward to the final on Friday night.
Yeah, we're heading for Remelton now, Remelton Town Hall, for the first time. As you know, we have decided to bring score to the people. We went round. We have done from Mallon to Clonmacnoise to Meenanairy, and round to John Bosco Centre and Glenfinn and Muff. We have been round the whole county, and this is a first now for Remelton, and it's great that we're able to head down there. We're down Friday night now at 7 o'clock with the final, and we're looking forward to a good night there.
And what clubs and how many are taking part?
Well, we have I think maybe about 13 clubs. Now, as you know, scoring an AUG is one thing, score Sinsir is another, and it's very difficult, very, very difficult. And until the clubs maybe make a better effort, the content in the score Sinsir won't be anything like what we'd have in scoring an AUG.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, whether it's because it's after Christmas and people are too busy getting ready for the year ahead or whatever it is, but we would tend to have a good lot of Trana guests, a good lot of solo singers. We have some dancers, we have some sets, we have ballad groups, and we have some recitations. We have no Leiru this year for this time, but there's nothing we can do about that. But in any case, you can only just do whatever comes in, and
Fair to say, Con, that maybe Score Sinsir has been on the wane for some time.
Well, it's always been more difficult because you're dealing with adults, and adults sometimes, with the best will in the world, and you're talking about students maybe over 17, they're away at university, and something comes up and you have a good ballad group or a good dancing set, and suddenly one or two goes missing, and then maybe on the night to say, we're sorry, but we've lost part of our group, you know. And Scorn and Og, they're generally around, you know. And you tend to get more loyalty. And Scorn Sinsir, people tend to go their own way. And you could have a very full programme, and you'll find maybe then on the night, you'll have maybe 20% down. But we carry on, and
There has been efforts to revamp it, hasn't there? And maybe some of the decisions made maybe not haven't, or some of the changes maybe haven't worked and haven't.
Well, to some extent, you see, separating the Trana guests was a big one. We didn't separate it. We still go through to provincial level, and we have it as usual anyway, because it's a big part, the quiz is a big part of the night, and people enjoy the quiz too, and they enjoy listening to the answers and that part of the competition. So we've kept it on here in the usual way, but when it goes to All-Ireland level, it takes place in the morning, and then the score proper takes place in the afternoon, and then the medals are all presented at the one on the one stage later on in the night.
As you mentioned, Scorn and Og's a different ball game altogether, or a different competition, far more successful. And you've had your finals, and you've had your provincial finals, and you're waiting for North Ireland. And Donegal has done well in recent years, and especially this year.
Yes, we had Buncrana up in the Leiru last year at the All Ireland final, and then we had Trana guests from New Columba, Glen Colum Kill, and they were the winners, and that was a huge event, you know, of that new competition. They were first time winners, and of course they are competing again this year, and Ballad Group from Gidore are also competing on the big stage out in City West.
That's in the All Ireland final.
And the All Ireland final. So they are very strong contenders. We had a great Ulster final, and as I said to you earlier, the Leiru from Buncrana would have been very, very unlucky. And there was a lad, Michael White from Carndona, there. He did a great piece in the recitation, the Bishop's Address from the field, John B. Keane's field, and he was flawless. But he didn't get through in the Ulster final, and that's the way it is with adjudicators. But you have to take that and move on, and hope maybe the next time it'll work out.
Yeah, and just want to have you on any other cultural activities or language activities that you maybe want to tell us about.
Well, we have a big day. As you know, Trana Guest Board as Gaeilge was always held, and the final of that was held in Croke Park on St. Patrick's Day. But the Uachtaráin changed that, and he done away with it. But in Ulster, they've kept it on, thankfully. So we run that off now. It's Trana Guest Board Ask Gaeilge. It's 100 questions in Irish, and it's in Mount Errigal on the 27th of February at 8 o'clock. And it's a great night, and it's teams of four, and they're all team questions, and it's a very, very enjoyable night. Now, three teams go through there to an Ulster final in the Athletic Grounds in Armagh in March as well. And that will be a big night. And, of course, the Club Development Forum is on tonight. It's a great opportunity for anybody involved with cultural activity now to come. And Donald McInallen will be the speaker from our point of view. And it's a great opportunity for people now to find out what SCORE is all about and how to progress.
And returning, just remind us again, Con, the SCORE Centre final, that's the Donegal final of SCORE Centre. It's on Friday night. And just remind us where and time.
It's in the Remelton Town Hall. It's just down the bottom of the town there. Turn right and turn right again, just over along the water. And it is at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., hopefully. And the winners from there go to the John Bosco Centre on the 6th of March. It's there at 7:30. So that's our programme from now on. And I would like just finally to wish Ballad Group Gridor, Al Moore, Aranihe, about the Canis na Héireann, agus New Columba, Glan Colum Kill, Comai. It's a huge day for these two clubs to be competing in an All-Ireland final, and we wish them every success.
Right, Slan,
and it's Tom.
Gormaigat. Conor Donald there, the Africa Culture Gathering and all, Conchlum Riven, or he's at, Conor's at that Donegal GA Forum tonight, or Information Forum, which has been run by the Ulster Council in the Ballybuffet, the Jackson's Hotel in Ballybuffet. It's for all officers, but I'm delighted to say I'm joined here by an officer of a club who decided to come and talk to me tonight instead of go to that meeting and that forum. John Harn, John from St. Julian's, a very good night to you and welcome. And of course, John and myself are going to discuss or reflect on Donegal's opening round Allianz League victory over Derry last Saturday night in McCool Park. I think everybody walked away from McCool Park, well, certainly all clad in green and gold anyway, quite happy. I'm not sure about the people in red and white, but 115 to 0-12, that's how it ended, a 6-point victory. And coming up later in the programme, we'll also be joined by Kieran Woods of Gaelic Life. And Kieran will tell us how that 6-point defeat to Monaghan is going down in the Neil County. Of course, Tyrone lost out to 111 to 0-8, or 5-point defeat, 111 to 0-9 in Healy Park, also on Saturday night. That was also in the first round of the Allianz Football League. And of course, as always, you can text us here on the programme on 086-087-00-555. We'd love to hear from you if you have any comment or anything, any issue you want us to raise. We'd be only too happy to raise it to you. And of course, a full round of games in the Allianz Football League again this weekend. It's Donegal away to Dublin. All-Ireland champions Kerry are in Celtic Park on Sunday afternoon, where Derry will provide the opposition. Monaghan home to Cork in Castleblaney, and Mayo and Tyrone, they clash down in Elvery's McHale Park. So those games in the Allianz Football League. There's a round of games obviously in Divisions 2 and 3 and 4 of the Allianz League as well. We'll talk to you a little bit about those maybe a little later, but first of all, John Harn, obviously delighted you could join us. And just John, before we reflect on that victory by Donegal, I'm sure you're pleasantly surprised by your old alma mater, St Mary's, having a big victory, shall we say, down in Galway this evening against NUIG in the Sigerson Cup.
I'm delighted for them, Tom. You know, Paddy Talley puts a lot of work into it up there with the boys, and, you know, a small pick, and, you know, they've had a lot of hard luck stories down through the years. I know all about them myself, and they got beat in the Ryan Cup final again this year by DCU. But great to go down to Galway and win. They were four down at half time, and Galway never scored in the second half until the injury time, and they got a goal. And, you know, I know that down through the years, Paddy's always cried about getting harsh decisions by the refs down south, and They had Jerome Johnson, Black Carrot, one of their best forwards in the first half. But they came through it and, you know, set up a great tie now, and they're the only Ulster team left. So they'll have a big challenge against ECU, obviously, who bet Jordanstown quite comfortably today. So
yeah, that was a big surprise, not alone the victory, but the margin of it, 3-10 to 10 points.
And Jordanstown with all the star players. And
Paddy McBrearty, Richie Donnelly, Keelan O'Connor.
All them boys. So, you know, disappointment for Jordanstown, but and that's the way it goes. Sigerson can always throw up them kind of, you know, surprises, and it's not all about the big names. It's about the team getting it right on the day, and you've seen that down through the years. Look at Billy Morgan with UCC year after year. Very few high profile names, but they won the Sigerson last year, and I think they're the favourites again this year because it's in Cork. So, you know, that's the nature of the Sigerson.
Toto Geisler and Clare coming, Luke Glasgow and Shachtan and Shalami, Tom Comick, John Harns, my guest in studio. John, I think everybody left McCool Park, as I said, all Donegal supporters anyway, in a very positive frame of mind following that victory last week. A great start for Donegal.
Great start, Tom. And, you know, to be honest, you have to roll out all the cliches. You know, they were quite poor in the first half, but once, you know, they got going in the second half and they got a grip hold around midfield and a couple of switches that were made and Michael Henney coming on, you know, they really pushed on. Rory Gallagher's bound to be delighted. It was one of them games where, you know, playing Derry at home in the first game, you thought, we have to get 2 points here, give ourselves a wee cushion going in, you know, further into the league against the bigger teams. Derry at home, we were expecting to win. But, you know, starting off again on their new regime after the
People were watching to see what was going to happen, because, like, when Jim McGuinness stepped down, we were talking about mass retirements, people walking out, but Rory Cavanagh's the only one so far.
Yeah, we thought that, you know, this guy was going to fall down and Donegal football was going to disappear forever and ever again. But, you know, we have to realise that over the last 4 years under Jim, these players have become up there with the best players in the country. They've won All-Stars, they've won All-Ireland medals. Them boys want to be at the top table. They don't want to slip back down, you know, and whether it's Jim McGuinness, Rory Gallagher or anyone else, I think that team has matured now, and the Murphys and the McGees and Lacey's, them boys are going to push on and they want to be at the top table, and, you know, they're driving themselves on as much as, you know, Rory Gallagher or someone else is going to drive them on, I think, you know.
But nevertheless, it is important who's on the bridge, you know, who's calling the shots.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, they know what Rory's about. He was there for 3 years and, you know, he's come back in and he knows the players and they know him. And I don't think we're going to see massive changes from the Jim McGuinness era style-wise.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We probably won't, because that's what's been successful for them and that's what the players know. And he's not going to, you know, change everything overnight. People say, no, we played Michael and Murphy inside in the second half and that worked. But he was out the field a good bit in the first half too. So, you know, these things, sometimes people read too much into them. We had a bit of a breeze in the second half. It was easier to kick the ball in. We got on top at midfield, so therefore he didn't have to be at midfield. So all these wee things add up and, you know, it worked out for them on the night. But
are you surprised how well Neil Gallagher, Christy Toy, these guys are going at this time of the year?
Well, I suppose people would say, yeah, but the way it's gone now, Tom, they're training all the time. They're training 12 months of the year. They have very little, you know, break. They mightn't be running hard on the pitches, but they're in the gym. They're doing all the training. And, you know, that's the way it's gone. So, listen, Christy Toys, he's a miracle man, the way he keeps going. But then Christy's not that old. But he had a lot of time where he was injured and he was only a fringe player on the gym and that. And now, you know, maybe in the autumn of his career, people would say Christy's flourishing. Big needle, you know, he had a brilliant second half. But these boys have experience, and when they're playing against maybe, you know, young boys from Derry, and that, you know, they can bully them, they can use their experience, and they can get on top. And, you know, I wasn't really that surprised, you know.
They have the Indian sign over Derry at the moment, haven't they?
Absolutely. Derry just can't do it against Donegal, Championship League, whatever it is, you know. So,
yeah. Where's Derry's problems? Where do you think?
Very hard to know, Tom. It's the age old, you know, problem with Derry. Great club players, great club championship. So competitive, one off their game with Slochneil, you know, but the Slochneil players, they're not going to come in and make a massive difference. Patsy Bradley, maybe one or two others. Hard to know with Derry, Tom. I think if anyone could put their finger on what the problem was in Derry.
Is it the fact that the most of the emphasis, people in Derry will tell you that the too much emphasis may be on club and not on county?
Yeah, possibly. You know, club football's massive in there, and you look at it down through the years, I think they've six teams that have won Ulster Club Championships, say, in this last 20 years, and it's so competitive, and maybe players would rather win a Derry club championship than put their heart and soul into the county and push on and try and win an Ulster championship.
Back to Donegal. The one thing people are saying, like, Donegal were pretty strong last week, you know, with the exception of Neil McGee, Colin McFadden, David Walsh, Liam McLoon is absent at the moment. We're not sure what's happening there. Donegal were probably as near as full tilt as you can expect.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, maybe from that side of it, maybe we're looking to get a couple of new players in. Maybe Marty Riley showed up. I know Kieran McGinley maybe a wee bit unlucky to get taken off before half time. But yeah, we were quite full strength, and you know, maybe
is that a concern that maybe may not enough players coming through? I know Brian McInniff mentioned in his column this week in the Democrat and the People's Press.
Yeah, but possibly it's always a concern, Tom. You want new players coming in, you want, you know, competition for places, and you know, maybe there's not that many coming through. But you know, Rory wants to get off to a winning start. He wants to build confidence, and if the players are there and they're fit and they want to play, it's very hard for him to leave them on the bench.
Yeah, and probably get points on the board and maybe then experiment if you can.
Yeah, later on in the league when maybe they're safe from relegation.
Yeah. Well, listen to the GAA programme here on Highland Radio. John Harns, my guest tonight, and coming up is Kieran Woods. Yeah, Kieran Woods of the Gaelic Life. He'll be joining us in a moment. Just to recap again on those Sigerson Cup quarterfinals which were played earlier today. St Mary's of Belfast beat Inouye of Galway 110 to 8 points. Is it worth it? The score has gone there now. Is it one? I haven't got the score in front of me anyway. I can tell you St Mary's are qualified for the quarter final where they will play DCDU. DCU had a 3-10 to 10-point victory over a very fancy Jordan side this afternoon. And of course, University of Limerick with Daniel McLaughlin and Anthony McFadden on board. They're also through to the quarterfinals. They will play IT Carlo next week. That game is on tomorrow week, and UCD will play GMIT. We don't know what about the sphere of IT Sligo yet. Of course, they're in an objection. They have an objection launched against them, and they're involved in a counter-objection with Queen's University. We may have more about that in the morning. I think that inquiry is on tonight. Well, Tyrone got their campaign off last week to, well, one of the worst possible starts, and nobody expected it, I think, especially coming on the back of their successful run to a fourth Dr. McKenna Cup and an impressive victories over Armagh on their way to that final. And certainly they came a cropper last week when the lights went out in Healy Park. And maybe to tell us first of all what happened during the game and how it panned out, I'm joined by Kieran Woods of Gaelic Life. Good night, Kieran.
How's it going, me, sir?
And Kieran, tell me first of all, I know obviously huge disappointment given, as I said, that well, there was a fair bit of expectation brewing in the O'Neill County again after the McKenna Cup, and I know people only say it's the McKenna Cup. What went wrong? Or maybe you can tell us what happened last Saturday night in Healy Park.
I think in the opening line of the match report, Donald said it was a floodlight failure above the pitching system, failure on it. You know, it's one of the nights where everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong for Tyrone. And the thing about it was, the first 20 minutes, you know, Tyrone were 7-2 up. They were in cruise control, Tom. You know, they really had picked up where they left off in that McKenna Cup campaign. And then Sean Cavan had taken the knock. A few different things, a few pot shots that fell badly weighed and that, you know, just seemed to take them back a wee bit. They lost their rhythm, lost their momentum. And, you know, let's not beat about the bush. This is a very, very good Monaghan outfit as well. They're very experienced. Like the other night, they pulled Conor McManus, Paul Finlay off the bench, and they still had Vinnie Corey there to come in as well, you know. So they are now a seasoned outfit, and you know, once they got the bit between their teeth, they were very hard to stop. But a lot of concerns, you would have to say, within Tyrone
what has been the reaction in Tyrone.
I think Saturday night, well, I think once everybody had to take up a few hours to thaw out first, you know, but once that happened, then you know, I think it's disappointment and wondering where, you know, how a team can go from one high on a Saturday night to win the McKenna Cup in such style against Cavan in the second half to being really taught a lesson on Saturday night as they were against Monaghan. And, you know, when you look at the fixtures list to come, Tyrone's way to Castlebar this Sunday, Mayo big win over Kerry last week as well. And to be honest, Tom, I think we're going to be looking across to our neighbours down there, to yourselves, you know, maybe throw us a couple of points later on if we're still in a sticky wicket.
And I know people say it's only the McKenna Cup, but and obviously it was a warm-up competition. It's the warm-up competition. And I know, as I said, people say it's only the McKenna Cup, but I know from talking to Tyrone people, it wasn't the winning of the game, but it was going to Armagh twice and winning. That they were seen as good results, and maybe people that were maybe waning in enthusiasm at the start of the year began to feel confident again, maybe that there was something about this team.
Yeah, they absolutely were. And I mean, you know, you had the two performances against Armagh, second performance especially very, very good from a Tyrone perspective. The final itself against Cavan, bit of a dire first half, but you know, whenever Tyrone emptied the bench just after half time, they ran home quite convincing winners. But you know, I suppose maybe it does put things in perspective, and Mickey Hartz has a tendency to field a pretty strong team in the McKenna Cup. You know, he usually maybe plays a split of maybe 10 and 5, you know, 10 recognised starters, 5 fringe players or newcomers till it. So maybe Tyrone did have a stronger team out in the McKenna Cup than most of their opposition teams. Maybe it did lend a wee bit of complacency, who knows, but you know, a lot of weaknesses were exposed, and badly exposed by Monaghan last week, especially at the back. You know, Darren Hughes was coming through like a steam train, and Tyrone just didn't seem to be able to stop him at all. And as I say, where in the past Tyrone used to be able to stop teams gaining momentum on them or getting a run at them, last week they just, you know, they really just succumbed to it.
Is it a case maybe that just not as good? There's no Peter Canavans anymore, no Brian Doers, no Owen Mulligans, no Brian McGuigans?
It's, you know, I suppose from a personal perspective, I would say that this isn't exactly a new phenomenon either, Tom. You know, you look at Tyrone the last couple of years and the warning signs have been there. I mean, you go back to Killarney last year when things completely fell apart for them, you know, and like I said it after that game as well, in years gone by, you would have had a Brian Doher 65-yard run to rouse the crowd, or you would have Conor Gormley would have went through somebody for a shortcut. You know, they don't have those sort of figures anymore, and you know, people are looking to like some Matty Donnelly, Sean Kavanagh, obviously Colm Kavanagh, and outside of that, you know, the rest of the boys really haven't proven themselves yet. And you know, you had another spate of, well, you can call them withdrawals, you can call them absences, you can call them cuts or whatever you want from the squad at the start of last week, and you were losing a lot of experienced heads there as well, boys who had big game experience behind them. So there does seem to be a dearth of experience in the squad at the minute.
And apart from Peter Hart, who was absent last week?
Really, you know, Peter Hart's the obvious one to come back in. Conor Clark is almost recovered from his cruciate. He should be back in the coming weeks. Oma, defender as well. But, you know, outside of that, really you're talking almost players who were in and out last year, like Danny McBride from Strabane would have started a few games last year, a few boys like that who underwent surgery over the winter months. Conor McAlskey came off the bench the other night, but to be honest, in Mickey Hart's team selections, it seems to be a toss-up between either McAlskey or McCurry. He doesn't seem to like playing the two in the one team for whatever reason. So, the options are limited.
Heading to McHale Park this Sunday and watching Mayo against Kerry last Sunday, they looked impressive. A lot of eyes, a lot of focus on the team and Mickey Hart this Sunday and how they perform.
Well, they will do. I can't see that many changes for this weekend's game. You know, Mickey has a tendency of, he might drop one or two, but by and large, it'll be a case of, you know, you're the ones who got us in this mess. It's up to you to get us out of it. You know, Mayo last week, a very, very strong win. Was talking to a few journalists from down there as well. They were very impressed by the Mayo side, but would also temper that with the fact that it was a very, very understaffed Kerry outfit too, who had very little training behind them. So they're expecting a bigger challenge this weekend. But, you know, from a Tyrone perspective, you're looking for a reaction. They need a reaction. And, you know, if you don't win this weekend, you're heading into a 3-week break, no points, which isn't a nice place to be either. And, you know, the drop would be almost inevitable at that stage.
Unfortunately, the clock is about a bit, but John Harn, you want to say a word on Tyrone?
Oh no, just that Pio McCann's out here and he's a very unhappy Tyrone fan. And just a quick word to Sean McCune, who's listening in Singapore. He gave me a text message and he said he can't sleep. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, so maybe after listening to this, Tom, he'll get a good
We'll put him to sleep. My thanks to John Harn, my thanks to Kieran Woods, my thanks to Conor Donnell and to Paul McDevitt on sound. Until next week, Slán agus Beannacht.